guys, welcome back to another episode of The Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 70. And today we're talking about the number one skill of our times. And if you're new to The Mary Valone Show, welcome. And this podcast is here for our nonprofit leaders. You know, so many nonprofit leaders are looking to raise more money. And if that's you, then you're in the right place because this is the podcast specifically for you to help you either get out of that stuck place or to help you get started with your fundraising or maybe just give you some new exciting ideas and inspiration to make your fundraising that much better. So, hey, I want to invite you guys to download my 7-step roadmap. If you haven't picked up a copy of it, there's a link in the show notes, or you can just jump right over to maryvalone.com and it's right there on the homepage. But I have a 7-step roadmap, which is very, it falls in line right with my Fundraising Freedom book. And it goes through those 7 steps, but it really gives you a visual of how these steps are all working together to help you get fully funded and raise the funds you need for your mission. So be sure to check that out, maryvalone.com, or check it out in the show notes. So today we're talking about the number one skill of our times, and that number one skill is focus. Do you find yourself just being so distracted by all the chaos of your nonprofit work and trying to raise that money, trying to manage staff or volunteers, and just feeling like you're kind of just like in this whirlwind and just trying to get your head above water? Well, there is a good reason for that. And it's because focus is so hard. Right now we're in just a season of our times where it's just so difficult to find the ability to stay focused on what's most important. I mean, it seems like you're always trying to take down all those fires. And instead of feeling like you're always a firefighter and knocking out those fires, wouldn't it be great to feel like you're in charge and you're in control of the direction that your cause is going and how you can engage people into your work? Well, that's what we are talking about today. So I want to, by the time we get off of our episode today, by the time you wrap up this conversation and you listen in today, I want you to feel like you've got some sense of control back, that you can sit down with a notepad and really jot down what are the key things that you need to focus on. So let's talk about how we can even get there in the first place. And as you know, I can't even remember who used this analogy, but I always think it's so good. Is that jar of water, but think about putting the rocks into that jar. And it's like you put the big rocks in, then you put the small rocks in, then you put the sand, and then you put the water, and it all fits. But if you put the water in, then the sand, then the small rocks, then, you know, it's like it just doesn't all fit. You know, you can't get it to all work when you go the other direction. The rocks will just come tumbling out of the top if you put the most important things in last. So just like anything in life, the most important things have to come first. They have to go first on your calendar. And if they don't land on your calendar first, as you know, they just don't get done. And I think that that's really what happens for many of us is that, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to do that are really good, but are they necessarily the best things? And are they the best things for you to be doing as the leader of your organization or your cause? And so today, let's talk through some of the things that are distracting you. So distractions, cell phones, social media, emails, phone calls, people popping into your office without you even knowing that they're going to show up, people calling because they need an immediate need or they have an immediate need and they need your help. So you feel like you've got to drop everything because that's what your cause is there to do, is to help people. Those one-on-one meetings, those lunch meetings, those breakfast meetings, those dinner meetings, those coffee meetings, all of those things are distractions. Now, are they all good? Absolutely. They're great. I mean, they're really great. They're great things. You feel good about it. You love working with people. And so that's probably why you got into the work in the first place. But you have got to protect your time and you've got to be able to say no. And because we're very, social and giving people working in the nonprofit industry, it is hard to say no. So the only way to say no is to remain focused. You know, if you know your vision, and that's why I talk about focus your vision as being the very first step of my fundraising freedom process, is that I want you to be so laser focused on your vision that it makes it so easy to say no to people because they just don't align with your vision. Not that it's not great that those people, you know, are out there doing their work, but you can easily say no because it's like, well, that is not what I'm focused on right now. And so it's, you can decline. You can say, I'm sorry, I'm not available to go have lunch or coffee with you today, but let me connect you with somebody who can, or let me get you some resources so that you have the information that you need and you don't have to feel bad about it. So think through how your day goes when you're, you start off your day. If you don't have anything mapped out, you don't have those big rocks on your schedule, what happens? I mean, it's chaos. It's a mess. And so let's start by saying, let's put the big things on our calendar and let's put the most important things that we need to get done on our calendar so that they actually get done. And then that way, those emails are actually scheduled in. When are you going to spend time on your emails? When are you going to spend time on social media? Because I do think it's important that you are active on social media. I also think it's important that you respond to your emails in a timely fashion. And when somebody texts you or they call you on your cell phone or your office phone, you want to be able to answer, but you almost have to block out the time that you're available to take those phone calls. And of course, some things happen and you can't anticipate that a tragedy or something, somebody needs you in that moment. But you'll notice that you will drop the most important things to handle the least important things because they needed you and they got your attention. So I want you to really protect yourself. And I know I'm sharing this information because I have to hear this message too. And I'll be honest, all the messages that I share on this podcast, all of our episodes are all things that I need to hear. And that's why I share them with you. And because we want to get these great things accomplished. We want to fulfill our vision and the mission of the work that we do. But we also care about other people. And so I want to protect you from yourself and do the same for myself by setting up some clear boundaries to make sure that we can protect ourselves from ourselves. So let's talk through, right? We've got those distractions that happen, but I also want to share that we have an information epidemic right now. You know, we are in, the world that we live in. This study that was out there from the journal Science, they talked about how 100 years ago, you would only be able to take in information that was comparable to reading 50 books in a lifetime. So the most information that you would ever consume over the entire course of your life would be equivalent to 50 books. How many of you read 50 books on, whether it's in print or on audiobook, 50 books in a year? I mean, I know I knock that out. I listen on audio book. I think I've listened to four books in the last two weeks. And they're talking about 50 in a lifetime was what it used to be. And by the time 1986 rolled around, we were consuming somewhere around 40 newspapers. And then by the year 2007, we were consuming 174 newspapers in a day, the information equivalent of 174 newspapers in a day. And today, it's exponentially greater because every day people are putting out more and more information. So there's so much information available to us. And, you know, we used to say that knowledge is power. And I don't believe that that's the case anymore because knowledge is so readily available, that now it's really, how do you use that knowledge? And where that comes from is really the wisdom, you know, having wisdom to take all that information and be able to pull out and stay focused on the most important things that are relevant in your life. And I think that this has helped me a ton is just finding that clarity in what I stand for. And I've shared with you guys before, just kind of having that statement of I am blank, who does blank, so that blank. And having that statement completed and being able to really say, okay, I am this. I am this person, and this is what I stand for. This is who I am. This is who I help, and this is the end results that I want to achieve. And so if you're starting to get all these things that are coming in during your day, if it doesn't fall in line with that mission that you have and the vision of what the long-term goal is, then you can kind of shut that stuff down. You have the ability to do that. But if you don't have any rhyme or reason to what it is that you're doing, you will flail around like, you know, you will get caught in the wind. Whatever direction the wind is blowing on that day, that's where you're going to go. And I know a lot of you guys are feeling this sense of just franticness because you just feel like you're just flailing around. And by the end of the day, you didn't get anything accomplished. And it's because you're allowing the day to control you instead of you controlling the day. Now, I know that back to that 80-20 rule is that you can really put the 80% on your calendar, but knowing that 20% is going to control you, like things are going to happen. The phone's going to ring and things are going to come up. And some people are going to need an immediate response on something that you're just going to have to take care of. But I would rather you spend 80% in control of the outcomes of your day versus spending 20%. So if you only put those small rocks or the sand in your day, you're not going to be able to get done what you set out to accomplish. And I would love to be able to jump into all of your schedules and be able to like knock out all the stuff that doesn't even matter, because you'd be amazed at what stuff you do that it's like you could totally delegate that out to a volunteer. You could delegate it out to somebody else on your team, but you probably have a bit of a control issue just because you're like, well, nobody else can do it as well as me, or I don't know if I can depend on them. I'm not sure if I can explain it well enough so that they could take it on. But I want you to do your very best to train up somebody to be able to take some of those things off your plate so that you can focus 80% of your time on the rocks, those 3 to 5 most important things that you're working towards. And, you know, I've really learned over the course of the last several years how to really achieve goals, how to knock things out in a better way. And it's really that you can't make this thing overwhelming. You really do have to focus on 3 to 5 things that are most important over the course of the next 90 days. Because if we start looking too far in advance, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, is that it's just too far away and it becomes too overwhelming. So being able to kind of pull that back and only look from a 90-day perspective and really hit those 3 to 5 big rocks, and they land on your calendar. So if it's important for you to schedule meetings with other people, you know, prospects and donors, then it's important that you put the things on your calendar that are going to move the needle. And it very well may be that you're scheduling those appointments, that you are spending time on the phone calling people, telling them that they matter, you know, reminding them that you're thinking about them and that you're doing the work that you said you were going to do with the dollars that they gave your cause. So I think that that's where we start to get into what is the most important thing for us to do. And if you go through the 7 steps in fundraising freedom, you start to see that it's like we have got to walk through this process and be present in the step that we're in. So if you're in the research phase, if you're in that step 2 research phase, well, then I want on the calendar that I'm going to be doing research and it's going to take up 80% of my week. That is exactly what I'm going to be spending time on, because that's the most critical thing that we need to work on so that we can build out the next phase of the plan. But if it's building out your team, well, then I'm on the phone, I'm scheduling meetings, I'm getting my team together, I'm creating job descriptions and details out for how am I going to build out that team effectively. So you can see that no matter which step you are in the process, you really are putting your focus on the most important things today and not allowing the emails, your cell phone, social media, all those distractions to come into your life. So it's really not, we're not talking about complicated stuff, but I do think that if you realize you have more than enough information to succeed, I don't think anybody's lacking information, because you can Google it, you can look it up. I mean, you're listening to this podcast because you're consuming information about how you can be a better fundraiser. And all of this information, you just have to pull apart and really be so focused on what's the most important things that I need to pull from this so that I can be better at the work that I do. And so today's content, the reason why I wanted to share so much about focus was because, I mean, this really is the skill of our time, because we get told how to do things so many different ways, and it's just really narrowing down on what is the plan that I'm going to follow? What direction am I going to take my team? And if you can start to see that you're like, okay, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow the plan that was set out through the Fundraising Freedom System. And I'm going to start with focusing my vision, getting so laser focused on the end goal. And that is typically, you get back to, we are blank, who does blank, so that blank. Everything is based on that. And when you make decisions, you're going to say, okay, is it moving our mission forward? And if it's not moving our mission forward, then we're not going to do it. And you got to know that, yes, I want to be in front of as many people as possible sharing our message, but there's got to be a sense of balance in that with your entire week and months and years ahead. So that is always going to be a part of your agenda, is making sure that you're present and that your organization's voice is in the mix. So figuring out, you know, what is going to be your focus as the leader of your organization, and what other people on your team, what is their focus going to be? And being able to really, execute that well. So one of my clients, she's done such a great job, and I love that she picked this up during our one-on-one coaching calls that we had together. But she often, you know, she shares with her team is that we need to empower somebody to take on one specific area and really give them ownership of it. And I'm like, yay. Oh, I love it when people catch that stuff, because when there are too many cooks in the kitchen, nobody feels like they can move forward. And so if you don't have focus on who's doing what and when, you're going to allow people to just kind of get, they're going to be frozen. They're not going to move forward because they don't know what their focus is. So if you're leading a really big team, I want you to say, okay, what is my focus? And that may be, I'm providing leadership, I'm giving direction, I have the plan, I have the strategy, I'm gearing and guiding the ship. But there's somebody who's managing social media, there's somebody who's managing this one fundraiser that we put on, and somebody else might be managing a different fundraiser. But you start to kind of look out, like, what members of my team are doing what projects, and you're giving them ownership, you're empowering them to really step up and lead that particular thing, so that they can say, okay, I own that thing. And then from there, they can build out their own team of volunteers, and they can build out their own team that they need. So if you're micromanaging all these details and your hand is in all these things, and you're just kind of flailing around, not giving guidance or leadership to your team, it's no wonder you're exhausted. It's no wonder that you feel like you're just flailing around trying to figure this thing out. So it takes time for you to just sit down, quiet, you know, taking the time to really pull apart the entire process and start to really nail down what's the most important thing for me to be focused on, and what's the most important thing for other members of my team to be focused on, so that they can really shine, you know, so that you can really shine in your skill set, and they can too. So this is why I share this information, is just because I know it's so hard to see your own skill set, and sometimes you have to bring other people into the conversation, which is why I do quite a bit of, you know, coaching with these nonprofits, because I'm the one that's speaking into them and saying, okay, where are you spending your time? What are you doing that you can hand off to somebody else? And it allows us some freedom to be able to say, okay, it's not necessary that I have my hand in every single detail of everything, that maybe I'm not the best person for people to be emailing or calling. Maybe I can start to delegate that stuff out, and maybe they start calling a volunteer instead of calling you. And maybe they start emailing somebody else on the team instead of you. And all that takes is just changing out key information on, you know, like if you have an article somewhere or it's on your website and you're like, if you have any questions, please email, and your name is on everything. Well, maybe it's time that you moved somebody else into those positions to allow their name to be on it and give them the ability to take those phone calls and to navigate that, those conversations. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do this well, but it comes back to that conversation, you know, about the rocks. What 3 to 5 things are really, really critical for you and only you to do? And get those 3 to 5 things on your calendar and start delegating out the other things. Now, I love when business leaders or entrepreneurs, you know, they talk a lot about how they pick out a certain time of the day where they'll check email during a, you know, maybe one time in the morning, maybe at, you know, right around the lunchtime, and a time in the afternoon, or they'll pick one time throughout the entire day. Now, I can't do that. I mean, like, I can't imagine not responding for, you know, 6 hours or 8 hours in a day. That just seems to me like I just can't possibly think about doing that. Now, sometimes that happens just because of my travel schedule, but, you know, I want to be able to respond as soon as possible when something comes in. So for you, you may have to just mark your calendar that you're going to check your email during certain parts of the day. Because what happens is that studies show that our mind cannot jump from one thing to the next and really reset itself. So it takes a long time when you pull yourself away. So if I'm on email and then I switch over to social media and then I switch over into a big project that I'm working on, my mind has a really hard time resetting in all those different circumstances. And I know in some cases they'll say it may take 30 minutes or it may take 20 minutes. I mean, every person is slightly different, but imagine how much lost time there is when you're jumping from one activity to the next. Because, I mean, I know for a fact that I cannot bounce from one thing because I find myself getting so distracted. And if you post something on social media and you're waiting for responses, you're waiting to comment, you're waiting to post, all of that takes time. And it just, your mind cannot bounce from one thing to the next. So my challenge to you is to get out that calendar and really be very specific about what time of day you're checking emails and where are you putting your cell phone? Are you putting your cell phone, is it on vibrate? Is your you know, ringer on as loud as possible? So it's like you're in the middle of a thought and all of a sudden your phone rings and now your mind just immediately jumps over into that you have to go answer the phone. And then somebody takes 30 to 45 minutes of your time. And now you're like, you get off the phone and you think, oh my goodness, what was I doing before that phone, you know, before I got that phone call? How many of us do that? I mean, it's very, very common. And I used to have people just show up in my office and I had to start to recreate, like, you know, move my office. I had to ask for an office with a door. I had to move, you know, my space in a place where people couldn't see me when they walked in the door and they couldn't just walk right in and come, you know, sit down at my desk and totally pull me away from what I was working on. So there's lots of different ways that you can set that up. I know some of you guys that have, you know, coworkers who like to talk a lot. And so they're a distraction to you that you need to separate yourself from. And it might be a sign that you put outside of your cubicle or your door that just says that you're unavailable until this time so that people just don't open the door and pop their head in and say, oh, I have just a quick question. Well, there you go. You have to reset again once they ask that quick question when they could have just emailed you or could have, you know, contacted you and said, hey, are you available at this time? And you could have responded when you're available. So all of those things that are happening, and I want you to be conscious of how you do that with other people as well, is that you want to make sure that you don't become a distraction to maybe your coworkers or to, you know, other members of your team and become a distraction to them. So this information to me is just, we have to remain focused on the mission at hand. Otherwise, we will go from one thing to the next. We'll bounce from one thing to one thing to one thing, and we will get nothing done. And that is not what we want to accomplish when it comes to the mission that we have for our cause. So today we're going to make a few adjustments. I don't want to give you more things to do on your plate. Today I want you to remove things. Today I want you to take those things off of your calendar and allow yourself really to focus on those 3 to 5 big rock ideas, those big rock goals, so that you can go get those funds. You can go talk to those people that you need to talk to. Make sure that your prospects are on your calendar, you know, that you can block out that I'm going to go talk to these people during this time. I'm going to go meet with these people. I'm going to send thank you notes, and you're going to be really, really intentional about how you're communicating with your people. So today, focus on those big goals. Focus on those big 30, 60, 90, you know, those 90-day goals so that you can really, really be effective. So this week, I want you to be focused on the task at hand, which is those 3 to 5 big goals. And be sure to pick up that copy of the 7-step roadmap. Once again, maryvaloney.com, or check it out in the show notes. So, and if you guys aren't a member of our Fundraising Freedom Tribe, I want to invite you to be a part of that. We're on Facebook, and you can check that out. Just jump on Facebook, type in Fundraising Freedom Tribe, and I'd love for you to jump in and be a part of that community where we are hanging out with other nonprofit and ministry leaders from across the country and around the world. So be sure to check that out. That will also be in the show notes. So hope you guys have a great week. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time.